fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, Tim Pool and Joe Rogan really made Twitter's executive CEO, Jack Dorsey, and his mama lawyer, Vijaya Gad, eat their lunch on the Joe Rogan podcast yesterday. Here is a clip of just that.
Manual? We don't have any PR constraints. That is not how
we're did you ban Alex Jones?
We can get into that.
You want to get into that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Are you ready for Alex Jones?
Sure.
All right.
Oh, well, I've been ready for Alex Jones.
We're ready because we brought our transcript.
Well, let me say this. The reason I bring him up is that Oliver Darcy, one of the lead reporters covering Alex Jones and his content, said on CNN that it was only after media pressure did these social networks take action. So that's why I bring him up specifically, because it sort of implies you were under PR constraints to get rid of him.
I think if you look at the PR that Twitter went through in that incident, it wouldn't be that we looked good in it.
You have to
That's not at all why we took action on this.
Sorry, Vijaya. You have to look at the full context and the spectrum here, because one of the things that happened over a weekend is what Alex mentioned on your podcast with him. He was removed from the iTunes podcast directory. That was the
okay. So now they get into how Jack is trying to avoid being lumped into the what I would assume is antitrust action that's coming down. So maybe he's smart for doing that, or maybe he's exposing himself. And then they get into the transcript that they had prepared with his lawyers there for why they censored Alex Jones, because they're scared and afraid of legal action that they probably should be enduring right now. But here's Tim Pool really just calling them out for what they're trying to avoid as the topic of discussion, and that's that Twitter does indeed censor free speech.
So your platform restricts speech.
Our platform promotes speech unless people violate our rules.
And in a specific direction.
In any direction.
But Uncle, I don't want to say his name, the guy who calls for death gets a suspension, the guy who insinuates death gets a permanent ban.
But Tim, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying, and I feel like you're doing it deliberately. It's not about one particular thing. It's about a pattern and practice of violating
our
rules.
And you have a pattern and practice of banning only one faction of people.
I don't agree
Quillette
with that.
Quillette recently published an article where they looked at 22 high-profile bannings from 2015 and found 21 of them were only on one side of the cultural debate.
But I don't look at the political spectrum of people when I'm looking at their tweets.
Right, you have a
I don't know who they are.
You're biased, and you're targeting specific individuals because your rules support this perspective.
No, I don't agree with that.
Well, so can you be clear though, in like what rules support that perspective?
Specifically, the easiest one is misgendering, right? Because that's so clearly ideological. If you ask a conservative what is misgendering, they'll say if someone is biologically male, and you call them, you know, she. A biologically male, and you call them a she. That's misgendering. That's a conservative view. The progressive view is inverted. So now you actually have in your policies a rule against the conservative perspective.
So it was a really strong performance by Tim Pool and for Joe Rogan as his role as the moderator, if you will. And I watched this and I'm asking myself genuinely, I'm genuinely asking myself, and people know that I've talked some stuff about Jack Dorsey, not necessarily like trash negative. It's just he's from St. Louis, I'm from St. Louis. There's, you know, degrees of separation there pretty tight. But I'm sitting here and I'm wondering genuinely, like, does Vijaya, what is it, Gade, even know what she's doing? Does she genuinely, I mean, because everybody has a bias. And so she just genuinely thinks, I don't want to offend trans people and I don't want to offend Muslims or any of this stuff. And so, but that's her bias that comes through. And she just genuinely doesn't see it because she's just not that bright. Or I don't know what it is. She's a 39-year-old attorney from India, born in India. And then there's Jack Dorsey, who's like a mystery in and of himself, where unlike Zuckerberg, you know, Dorsey goes out in the public and kind of has more of a social life, where Zuckerberg is like some weird android controlled by his wife or something. But it's like, I'm going and looking at Jack Dorsey, and he goes and he does this stuff. The guy, he goes and meets like the royalty and travels the world. He goes and meets the Dalai Lama, and he's wearing like a hoodie every time and like a t-shirt. And it's just like, who is this guy? Like, does he even get it? Like, dude, like, do you even get it? Like, you are censoring conservatives. Like, genuinely, do they even get it? Did they get red-pilled by Tim Pool yesterday? Or are they knowingly censoring people?
Yeah.
InfoWars.com War Room. Here on this Wednesday, March 6th, 2019, I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, and I have a ton of news to get to today. In fact, so much news, we have to go to the resident crew member of just myself, who I've been working with for 3 years since I started here, longer than anyone else. That's Marcos Morales. And we have to ask, all right, go to the crew cam, Marcos Morales, is this the most news that's ever been on my desk? We can only get confirmation from Marcos Morales because he's been working with me the longest here. So let's just quick, Marcos, is this the most news that's ever been on my desk?
You know, Owen, I think it's not even the strongest contender for third place.
Wow. So it doesn't
even
make the top
corner of the desk over here. But this is a lot. Probably top five.
I'm just being neutral, and that's why I go to Marcos Morales, because he puts me in place here after he steals my InfoWars Live protein
bars. He likes
to
inflate the size of the stories.
But that's a separate story. But the point is, all of this news to get to, and I've got only 3 hours to do it, plus my guest Christopher Nyweem joining me at 3:30 here in just 20 minutes to talk about some veterans issues. And I'm sure we'll talk about some other stuff as well. But I'm going to make a connection today and break a story, or break stories today, if you will. But it's not that I'm breaking them. They're stories. I'm just covering them. But I'm going to make a connection and expose something today that you're not going to get anywhere else, period. It's not going to happen anywhere else except at InfoWars, because, quite frankly, most others are too scared to do it. And this is going to be about some major vaccine news that's happening and no one's talking about, and how it's actually connected to the illegal immigration crisis happening at the southern border right now. Yes, it's all tied together, and yes, it's being used to bring in forced vaccinations. And so I will be breaking all that down. We may get to some more clips from the Rogan Experience, but I feel like that cow has been milked almost dry, and so I don't want to get redundant. And then there's just all kinds of news. I've got the Democrats now. I already told you what their next move is as far as these 81 subpoenas that just went out. So right now, there's some resistance as far as those documents getting released. We'll see if they take the Obama Justice Department practice where they, if you subpoenaed anyone from the Obama Justice Department or Hillary Clinton's office or anything like that, they just gave you the bird. They just told you to screw off. So that's not what the Trump administration have done. They've cooperated with this Mueller probe. But I think they may be considering with these subpoenas to telling them get bent. So, but that's not even stopping the Democrats. They've got other things up their sleeve now that they're trying to get into, including putting Roger Stone in jail. That's right, folks. They are trying to put Roger in jail right now. And so I've got a little bit of news on that. Of course, Roger's not allowed to talk. My former co-host gagged. First Amendment removed. He's not allowed to talk. And then I've just got some other news stories that we're going to talk about here today to just kind of put everything into perspective. And it's funny, too, because you've got this R. Kelly thing going viral, which is really, the whole thing is strange to me. And then there's a Michael Jackson story, how Michael Jackson is being banned all across the world. And anybody, I've always been intrigued by the Michael Jackson story. I'm a huge fan of his music. Personally, I think that the guy was set up. But whatever, beyond what I think about, I could almost do, it's almost, and I kind of want to do this, just like a full show, and it's totally outside of the realm of what our audience wants at InfoWars, but it's like a full show, 3 hours of calls, like Michael Jackson. Like, what do you think really happened to Michael Jackson? The Michael Jackson story is truly incredible. And when you consider the fact he's probably number one entertainer in American entertainment history, who's bigger than Michael Jackson? But now they're banning his songs from radio stations. And so it's like, oh, okay, so you ban his songs, I guess, because he was a pedophile. But what kind of precedent is that setting now? So it's all very interesting. But that's probably the last I'll talk about that. I do want to take phone calls today as well, though, probably in the third hour. But that's what you can expect today. And then you'll have a couple laughs at some stories I got today, too. And you may shed a tear because free speech is truly dead, which is sad. Meanwhile, it's like these leftists don't know when to quit when it comes to staging hate crimes. They really don't know when to quit. So I've got a little bit of news where that's concerned as well. So you can expect all of that today on The War Room. And again, I hope to get to your calls in the third hour. And my guest, Christopher Nyweem, joins me in 20 minutes to discuss some veterans issues that are on his radar as he works on D.C. for veterans issues, a regular guest of The War Room. So I'm going to go ahead and fuel the engine now so that we can be powered and ready to go for the remainder of this hour. But folks, please shop at InfoWarsStore.com today so that InfoWars is on the air tomorrow. And we've got specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And I talked about this earlier this week. DNA Force Plus, which is the new product of DNA Force, is back at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, it's 33% off right now. And it's, look, here's the deal. I don't really talk about DNA Force Plus too much. We don't really plug DNA Force Plus too much because, I mean, honestly, it is an elite product. It is expensive. I mean, it's top of the line, expensive ingredients. And you can do the research for yourself into these ingredients, folks. It is tough stuff not only to get, but then to even sell at a profit. And so we're just like barely skimming the surface right now with DNA Force Plus selling it for under $100, 33% off right now. But folks, you can go look into it. I'm not going to name the names, but I actually covered this when it first started happening because I'm actually very health conscious. And so these new companies started sprouting up talking about telomere support. And it was basically just different offshoots of our formula, DNA Force Plus, and different means of consumption. But none of them made it. None of them lasted because the truth is, when it comes to selling a supplement and marketing a supplement via a talk platform, people want stuff that's not going to cost them that much money. If they're going to spend a bunch of money, they want storable food, which we have. They want the air filters, the water filters. They don't tend to spend a bunch of money on a supplement. So when you hear people plugging supplements on talk radio, it's usually stuff that's pretty affordable, pretty cheap. Well, DNA Force Plus is not cheap because it's the elite stuff. And so these other companies started sprouting up talking about telomere support, and they lasted not very long because they were trying to market on talk radio and they tried to market on these other platforms. But the problem was their formulas cost $500. And so it's tough to sell a product for that much when it's a supplement, and most people that use supplements aren't looking for top grade stuff. Well, DNA Force Plus is the top stuff. And you can look into some of the newly discovered science when it comes to telomeres and when it comes to the ingredients in DNA Force Plus, but it's the real deal. There's a reason why it's so expensive. So if you're looking for the top most elite supplement we have at InfoWarsStore.com, DNA Force Plus is it, and it's 33% off right now, and I'm telling you that is a great deal. Now, we've got the coupon code for The War Room. If you use coupon code War Room at checkout, you can get $10 off the InfoWars Hexagon logo polo, which is the polo I'm sporting today. I wear it often. It's the black InfoWars Hexagon logo polo. With coupon code War Room, it's $10 off. So take advantage of the March coupon code War Room for $10 off your InfoWars Hexagon logo polo.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, here it at InfoWars, we have to be ready to move at the drop of a hat, and that's basically what's happening now. President Trump has just met with the top American CEOs, including Tim Cook, and he is about to give remarks on that meeting, American Workforce Policy Advisory Board meeting. So we're going to go to President Trump live there, which means I have to delay my plan for today's news broadcast, but that's okay. Because calling audibles and then passing for touchdowns is what we do best here at InfoWars. So as soon as President Trump starts talking, we're going to go live to it. But you know what? It gives me a minute to kind of put a final bookend on the Jack Dorsey, Vijaya Gadde. I don't care. Whatever. Her name is whatever it is. And then Tim Pool with the Joe Rogan Experience. Because here's the thing. I mean, I try to be fair, and one lesson that I've learned in life is that for the most part, until you actually meet someone or get behind the scenes of a certain industry, you really don't fully understand fully that individual or that industry. And so I don't want to think the worst of Vijaya Gadde. I don't want to think the worst of Jack Dorsey. I'd rather think the best, but you do more research into these people and you see they're rubbing elbows with all the top Democrats, Obama, Clintons. I mean, the Twitter lawyer meets with the Clintons all the time. Dorsey's friends with all these top Democrats, but okay. So they're friends with the Democrats. Fine. So you can have friends, different political views, whatever. But it's like, how much of an influence, how much of an impact does that have on them? And is it genuine where they genuinely think, because who was it that said Alex Jones had a dark heart? Hillary Clinton. Who meets with Hillary Clinton? Twitter. Who banned Alex Jones? Twitter. Or was it Hillary Clinton? So you just have to wonder. Now, President Trump is speaking at the American Workforce Policy Advisory Board meeting. We go live to President Trump now.
I will say, and she's created a lot of happy families. Because you're going to be up to close to 7 million people pretty soon. And you are very responsible, along with many of the people at this table. And I'm going to ask, I think, for you, maybe before I even speak, to go around the table, because this is such a distinguished group, and just introduce yourself. We have a few of the media back there. And just a
Tim
small
Cook
group.
Tim Cook is sitting to President Trump's
sometimes
right.
Sometimes you have to see some
speak.
Of these groups. It's pretty amazing what they do. They break down the walls and the windows and everything else in order
CEO
to get in. But
Apple.
We have great representative media back, and I thought you should really take some of the credit for what you've done. And I'd maybe like to start with Tim Cook, who's done such an incredible job at Apple, become a friend of mine, and he's a friend because he does a great job. I mean, we want to get things done. Employees. So many people brought a lot of money back into our country because of the new tax law. And he's spending that money very wisely and just done an incredible job. So, Tim, maybe you could just start, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. It's an honor to serve on this council. I've always thought that America is so special in so many ways, but at the heart of all of its people. And that, to me, is what this group is about. For our company, as you know, was founded by a college dropout. So we've never really thought that a college degree was the thing that you had to have to do well. We've always tried to expand our horizons. And to that degree, about half of our U.S. employment last year were people that did not have a four-year degree. And we're very proud of that, but we want to go further. And so to that end, as we've looked at the sort of the mismatch between the skills that are coming out of colleges and what the skills are that we believe we need in the future, many other businesses do, we've identified coding as a very key one.
What?
And we believe strongly that
learn
it should
to code?
Be a requirement in the United States for every
to ban
kid
Tim Cook.
To have coding before they graduate from K-12 and become somewhat proficient at
now,
it.
Now, I'm curious. I'm genuinely
so
asking.
We've
I wonder.
We've done a curriculum
because pull him down for a second. I wonder. Because he's talking about how, what did he say, a quarter of Apple employees don't have a four-year degree? Is that what he said, guys? I think that's what he said. I'm wondering, though, I mean, is he talking about Americans or foreign employees? Let's go back.
And providing Austin, coding education there. There's an enormous deficit in the number of jobs versus the number of candidates. And so we are proud to
I've heard enough from Tim Cook here, so it looks like they're probably going to go around the table here. And I don't know if President Trump is actually going to deliver any form of an address. And we're moving on now to somebody else. So, yeah, that's what's going to happen. They're going to go around this table. Everyone's going to have their 5 minutes or whatever. Hey, you know what? Good for President Trump. Good for America. But, you know, I can't help but have to say, as President Trump, you know, thanking Tim Cook, you know, I mean, look, if you actually look at Apple under Tim Cook, it really hasn't done that much. I mean, you want to talk about inheriting a good circumstance, that's basically what Tim Cook did. And if you actually look at the boil down since Tim Cook's takeover, I mean, iPhone sales are bad. I mean, it's not good. And in fact, they're kind of fudging their numbers, in my opinion. And that's why you see all these iPhone giveaways, too. I mean, they couldn't even sell the iPhone 8. And so they've got this big issue, and there's some other issues going on with Apple, too. You wonder how much of that is discussed behind the scenes. But, you know, it's not a bitterness thing because, again, and it's not even about me, but it's like, and we know our role here, but President Trump, oh, man, I don't even know if I would want to get into his head on this issue because it's like, you realize, President Trump, you wouldn't even be in office if Tim Cook had his way. Like, do you understand that, President Trump? And it looks like Tim Cook is, you know, his eyes aren't dinner plates today, so that's nice. But you wouldn't even be in office if it wasn't for the InfoWars audience and if it wasn't for the alternative media audience, President Trump. And again, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, look how you give Tim Cook all of this glory and Alex Jones gets ignored, even though it's Alex Jones that helped get you in office and has stood with you through everything. And it's Tim Cook that wants to censor people like Alex Jones so that your supporters aren't on his platform. But, I mean, that's the truth. And so I get it. Tim Cook's the big CEO of Apple, took over, you know, after Steve Jobs was great for Apple, after they got all their technology from Bill Gates in the 90s. So it's all fine, but I mean, it is kind of like a spit in the eye for the president to be up there glad handing Tim Cook, who really has not done great for Apple, has not done anything to solve the humanitarian problems that are happening with the Apple sweatshops in China, and has been censoring free speech on his platform, including Alex Jones, who is one of the biggest original supporters of President Trump, and president wouldn't be in office if it wasn't for Alex Jones. So yeah, you know, I'm sorry that I feel like there's a little spit in my eye that Tim Cook is going to be paraded around as some American hero as he gladly engages in the censorship of free speech against the President of the United States, and the President of the United still says, oh, wow, he's so great, Tim Cook. I'm not down with that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, we had to call another Blue 42, and we're moving Chris Nyween back to the second hour. You know, I broke into the board meeting that's happening right now between all these American CEOs, Apple, IBM, Home Depot, Visa, Lockheed Martin, all of them meeting right now with President Trump. And we broke in, and I wanted to really just hear from the president, but it looks like he's really just giving these CEOs a platform. And so I'm not going to go back to it, but we got the juice. We got the nugget. It just so happens in the 2 minutes we went to the live feed where Tim Cook says America needs to learn to code and high schoolers need to learn to code. So will Tim Cook and all of Apple get banned from Twitter? Now, we recall during Tim Cook's ADL speech, he was given an award for censoring speech online and was, of course, targeting Alex Jones, referring to him as a violent conspiracy theorist. So, but that's not a conspiracy theory. Hold on a second. Am I crazy? Like, I'm tweaked by this. I'm not even lying. Like, I'm a little tweaked right now. So, President Trump is sitting here glad-handing Tim Cook, who is censoring President Trump's biggest supporters on his platform, getting awards for it. And then also, Tim Cook is saying, learn how to code, which has now been banned as a hashtag for hate speech, which Tim Cook got an award for fighting. What is the deal? The world gets crazier every damn day. Woo! Wow. yesterday, so these billboards are going up now. I think I sent you this tweet, Savannah. Just pull this video up, and then I think maybe we get this guy on. Because, you know, at a certain point, you get it. You just, if somebody wants to tell you that, you know, the sun doesn't rise in the east and set in the west, and, you know, water isn't wet, and you know, the desert isn't dry, it's like, okay, fine. You know, I can't debate with you. Like, if you can't, for example, yesterday in the city of Austin, chemtrails were like, I mean, it was some of the worst we've ever seen here. And I don't know if anybody else in the crew saw that going on yesterday, but it was bad. I mean, it was some of the worst chemtrailing I've ever seen. But it's not even about that. It's like, you look up at the sky and there's literal crossing patterns in the sky. It's clearly not clouds. In fact, there were clouds in the sky. You can see there were cloud formations in the sky. And anybody who's studied science, like fifth grade science, like cumulus clouds, nimbus, and all these different clouds, none of them are straight lines that go diagonal. That's not in the science book. Oh, there they are all throughout the sky. And they say, oh, but it's a condensation trail. Oh, really? There's a plane flying right there with a condensation trail that evaporates within a minute. Those things are still there and have been there for an hour and are expanding. Oh, contrail, yes. But see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, if I have to explain to you that those lines in the sky are not natural, I can't help you. But so I found this tweet. I don't know this user, but it's, come on, Mr. Trump, shut it down before it's too late. And there's some websites. I've been to geoengineeringwatch.org, a great place to go for information when it comes to geoengineering, the chemtrails in the sky. And then aircraft.org, I've never heard of that. But they're putting these billboards up. And President Trump isn't saying anything. And I mean, sure, you can call it a conspiracy theory. Look, I mean, they admit that this is... China admits that they're modifying the weather by putting chemicals in the sky. Russia admits they're modifying the weather by putting chemicals in the sky. In fact, I'd even bet you could go online and look at India probably admits it too. I don't know that, but I bet it. And so then you say, well, hey, look, I mean, they're admitting they're doing this. Then you had these other groups that said, they're actually admitting it in America. They're saying they want to put like reflectance in the sky to block the sun. I believe it may not have been WikiLeaks, but I think it was WikiLeaks that actually got NASA documents on chemtrailing. I mean, this is a freaking joke. But so that's what I'm saying. It's like, if I had to come on here and explain how, hey, you know, they're spraying chemicals in the sky, it's like, oh, you know, Cortez says, the planet's going to end in 12 years if we don't do anything about global warming. You realize that they're literally spraying chemicals in the sky, lithium and barium. I mean, it's all in the sky. Kristen Megan, who was a Army specialist, I believe, did the study. She was like in charge of the logistics of, okay, here's all the different chemicals the United States Army is ordering. And then she had to be like, okay, well, Here's where these chemicals went. And so she discovered, she's like, wait a second, there's all this barium and lithium and sulfates and everything. And she's like, they're unaccounted for. Where are they? Then she tested the soil and she found concentrations of all of those missing chemicals. Huh. She put two and two together, folks, and she exposed chemtrails. And she used to give speeches and she'd cry about this because it was so real to her. But it's just, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, when somebody comes and says, you're a conspiracy theorist, you believe in chemtrails. Hey, dumbass. If Peter Pan flies across the sky and we all see it and I say, look, there's a man flying in the sky dressed like Peter Pan. Oh, no, there's not. And we're both looking at it and it's like, oh. Okay, I guess it's just swamp gas. That's what they say. NASA always says when there's like all these weird paranormal phenomena, they go, oh, it's swamp gas. So chemtrails, you literally can see them. And people say you're a conspiracy theorist. So whatever, dude. And then Tim Cook gets glad-handed by President Trump, even though he's actively engaged in censoring free speech, specifically of Trump supporters. And then he's given awards for it. And then he tells teenagers to learn to code, which is hate speech on Twitter. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. Bring it back home. You know what? Here's what I'll do, because I got to be focused to get into these stacks of news. This story was on Drudge today. Stray mongrel beats pedigrees to become elite Indian sniffer dog. So basically the story here is, you know, they breed animals, specifically dogs like German shepherds in the West and such, to be dogs for certain army missions and operations and police missions and operations and everything. And so they have their trained dogs, you know, bred for the police academy. And they found this stray dog. And after being rescued, just a stray dog out on the streets, you know, not doing too well, he's now the top drug-sniffing dog in the Indian police force. Now, why am I telling you this? Because there's a story about ABC's David Muir being the highest news anchor for evening news. And I don't know the guy. I don't follow his news, so I'm not commenting on that. But it's like InfoWars is the stray mongrel that's not bred for this. We weren't bred for this. We weren't trained for this. We're not the elite. We're the stray mongrel that got picked up off the streets and then brought into the most elite force in media and then are beating all the trained pedigrees, all of the elites. So that's why I'm saying it's like, InfoWars is the stray dog that just got brought off the streets and is now in the mainstream media, competing with the mainstream media, beating their ass. And so all these elitist, pedigreed mainstream media people are looking at the stray dog like, how dare you come on here? You can't exist next to me. I'm pedigreed at news.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
You know, it's just happening again. I got to call an audible, and I still can't get to this important news. And I mean, I have to cover this news, folks. But President Trump is live right now, so we're going to go to him. But it would be a very ironic situation, considering that President Trump read the poem about the snake. You knew I was a snake when you let me in. Yet here he is hiring William Barr. Here he is rubbing shoulders with Tim Cook. So you hope that President Trump knows Tim Cook is a snake before he gets bit by him. Of course, he's already been bit by him like 30 times. That's almost how the irony is already present. But let's go live right now to President Trump giving remarks at today's meeting with all these American CEOs?
Is because we have to. We have so many companies coming in. People like Tim, you're expanding all over and doing things that I really wanted you to do right from the beginning. I used to say, Tim, you got to start doing it over here, and you really have. I mean, you've really put a big investment in our country. We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple. But we're opening it up. We have to bring people in. We want them to be people based on merit, and we want them to come in legally. You see what's going on at the border. And we're doing a great job, whether it's Border Patrol, ICE, law enforcement generally. We're all working together. We have our military sent to the border. We have 8,000 military personnel right now at the border. We are doing an amazing job considering it's really an onslaught very much. I call it invasion. They always get upset when I say an invasion, but it really is somewhat of an invasion. And we're stopping drugs at a record level, but a record number of drugs are pouring up and coming up, and we're getting it done. Human trafficking is a disaster. Nobody knew too much about it until recently. It's
okay,
been going
now
on
the
for
optics of this are incredible.
Years, actually. It's,
now he's slamming the leftist agenda with Tim Cook sitting to his right.
Being slowed down, but we can't slow it down unless we have a very strong and powerful separation between us and wherever it is it may
this
be.
This is the
and
exact
case,
type of speech that Tim Cook is trying to censor right now.
Mexico has a
and he's doing it right to his face.
Number of murders this year, a number that's so large it's actually hard to believe.
Oh!
And we're working very hard on doing, actually having one of the safest we've ever been. We have some of the best numbers we've ever had from the standpoint of crime. Murders, killings included. One of our best years ever was last year. And we're down 6% from last year, so that's very important. But we want to have a very strong border, but we want to have a lot of people coming in. A lot of people don't understand that. They think we're shutting it out. We're not shutting it out. We want people to come in, but they have to come in through a process. So we have a process that's really moving along rapidly. Last year, we took in a large number of highly qualified, wonderful people, and they're, for the most part, they're working already in your companies. But we also have a lot of companies coming in. I was with Prime Minister Abe the other day, and he said, we spoke the other day, and he said that Japan's going to be sending about at least seven more big factories into this country. And I said, got to do more than that. We have too big a deficit with Japan. We have for a long time. But they're going to, you saw a couple of openings, big openings in Michigan. Chrysler Fiat just announced that they're going to spend $4.5 billion in Michigan around the Detroit area. We have a tremendous number of not only car companies coming in, we have a lot of car companies coming in. They're coming in, they're building new, but they're also expanding. And they're going to Pennsylvania, they're going to Ohio, very heavy in Michigan, South Carolina, North Carolina, all over. We have companies coming into this country at a record pace, and really at a pace that nobody thought possible, because nobody thought you'd ever see these particular companies again. Many of them are coming back. They want to be where the action is. They're coming back. They left years ago. I used to talk about it as a civilian, but they left years ago, and now they're coming back, and they're coming back in numbers that nobody believes. So we're going to let a lot of people come in because we need workers. We have to have workers.
So this is incredible.
Unemployment at 3.7.
He's probably going to start taking questions from the press here. But so President Trump is doing this right now, and he's giving this speech, if you will, in front of all the most powerful men and women in America. And so, again, I don't know if this is the genius of Trump or he just stumbles into these optics, but, like, you've got probably 30 CEOs, American CEOs, here at this meeting, and he is just destroying the entire narrative of the left. There's black men, white men, women. I mean, it's like the whole ball, it's a very diverse group, but they say, oh no, there's no women making it in America. There's like a dozen women that are the top CEOs in America. There's multiple black men that are top CEOs that are in this meeting. So it's just like, there's genius at that level. Now the media probably won't show that. As Trump is like, I mean, it looks like he's buddy-buddy with Tim Cook as he's giving the speech that Tim Cook deems his hate speech right in front of Tim Cook, and Tim Cook can't say jack. So that's incredible. I can't tell if the president is taking questions or is he done, guys.
They are loving what they see. They cannot even believe how good some of these people are. Not in all cases, I guess, but you can say that about everybody, but how great they have been. And it's very nice to hear. First time ever. First time that's ever happened. And to a large extent, it's because we take some credit because of the economy. But it's an incredible thing what's happening with respect to the prison population. They're getting out, they're getting jobs, and they're doing a fantastic job. And it's really beautiful to see. I just want to, many of your friends, I just want to thank you all for what you've done. I also want to thank Doug McMillon, the CEO of Walmart. They have been fantastic, Ivanka, I know that, because they've just hired tremendous amounts of people. And William McDermott of SAP, they have really stood out, and they very special people, and I just want to thank them in addition to the folks around the table. And again, thank you all for being here. Thanks for the incredible job you've done. We appreciate it very much. And Tim, thank you very much. Very much.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Press, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk to the press then. He just waved him out of the room. But, boy, this is a real interesting one. And this probably isn't going to get much attention.
Well, we're going to have a lot of people coming into the country. We want a lot of people
coming
in.
That's right. He is taking some questions from the press. They just shout at him. He didn't plan on it. But
these folks are going to have to sort of...
He's talking about the border concern here, but he's basically sitting here saying everything that the left hates that he says right in front of all the top CEOs. Tim Cook sitting to his right, one of the leftist heroes, who then has to sit there in silence and then even thank the president after he says everything that Tim Cook is trying to censor on his platform. Wow. So first hour of the War Room is almost in the books, like literally nothing went according to plan. But that is almost a perfect setup for this most important stack of news that I want to get here today, because, and then you start to wonder if this all wasn't done by design. But folks, look, the LA Times has the story, and it's an interesting plot twist here. The headline reads, Trump works to maintain illusions of progress as his main promises go unfulfilled. Now, I look at this story and I'm like, you know, okay. Talks about how the wall isn't built. Talks about how there's all these stories in the news today. I'm going to get to all of them in the next hour here. The deficit is actually worse than it's ever been. The trade gap with China is actually worse than it's been in a decade. And right now, the numbers say that there's more people coming across the border illegally than there were even under Obama. And then, and this is why InfoWars has to exist, they're then using the crisis of this illegal immigration influx, bringing all these diseases here, specifically mumps and measles, and then they're using that to say, see, we need vaccines. The unvaccinated people are causing measles and mumps to outbreak, even though they're admitting it's actually coming across the border with these illegal immigrants. But then they're using that to give you forced vaccinations. And yesterday on the Hill, they had multiple hearings saying that it's time for mandatory vaccines, saying anti-vaxxers are harming children. And they even had this spokesman, an 18-year-old whose parent was anti-vax, who came out and got himself vaccinated at 18, trashing his parents, saying he thinks they're good people, but they harmed him because of anti-vax propaganda. We're not anti-vaccine. It's the same thing. They say we're anti-immigration, not anti-immigration. We just want legal immigration, not anti-vaccine. I just want choice. I just want to know what's in the vaccines, and if there's something I don't like in it, I don't want to have to take it. I don't want to have to give it to my kid. But they lie about both stories. They say we're anti-immigration, anti-vaccine, both huge lies. We'll break it all down in the next hour.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Now, in the next segment, I'm going to do my best to remain focused and and be as effective and efficient as possible covering this stack of news and trying to take a story that nobody covered, really, which was the push for mandatory vaccines in the last 48 hours and how they're trying to use the illegal immigration crisis, bringing disease here as an excuse to say, see, anti-vaxxers are causing these diseases to break out, when that's not the truth. It's the diseases coming here from across the southern border illegally. But it doesn't matter if that's the truth. It's all about forcing you to get a vaccine. And I'm telling you, I'm not even doing a good job at this, folks. And I wish I could do better. But as soon as I learned about all this, I reached out to all our great vaccine guests. We're going to have one on this week and then hopefully another one on next week to get the experts' take on this. But, I mean, they're doing everything they can right now to get mandatory vaccinations on the books. And they already tell you they do, but legally they don't. And they don't want you to know that. But more Americans are finding out the truth, and so now they have to come out with the vaccine propaganda to force you to vaccinate. So first, before I get to that and connect all of it, and it's really difficult and complex, but when you kind of step back, you see how all the dots connect. But first, let's go to Rand Paul arguing why the government should not force Americans to vaccinate.
I'm not a fan of government coercion. Yet given the choice, I do believe that the benefits of most vaccines vastly outweigh the risks. Yet it is wrong to say that there are no risks to vaccines. Even the government admits that children are sometimes injured by vaccines. Since 1988, over $4 billion has been paid out from the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Despite the government admitting to and paying $4 billion for vaccine injuries, no informed consent is used or required when you vaccinate your child. This may be the only medical procedure in today's medical world where an informed consent is not required. Now, proponents of mandatory government vaccination argue that parents who refuse to vaccinate their children risk spreading these diseases to the immunocompromised community. There doesn't seem to be enough evidence of this happening to be recorded as a statistic, but it could happen. But if the fear of this is valid, are we to find that next we'll be mandating flu vaccines? Between 12 and 56,000 people die from the flu, or are said to die from the flu in America, and there's estimated to be a few hundred from measles. So I would guess that those who want to mandate measles will be after us on the flu next. Yet the current science only allows for educated guessing when it comes to the flu vaccine. Each year, before that year's flu vaccine strain is known, the scientists put their best guess into that year's vaccine. Some years it's completely wrong. We vaccinate for the wrong strand of the wrong strain of flu vaccine. Yet five states already mandate flu vaccines. Is it really appropriate to mandate a vaccine that more often than not vaccinates for the wrong flu strain? As we contemplate forcing parents to choose this or that vaccine, I think it's important to remember that force is not consistent with the American story, nor is force consistent with the liberty our forefathers sought when they came to America. I don't think you have to have one or the other, though. I'm not here to say don't vaccinate your kids. If this hearing is for persuasion, I'm all for the persuasion. I vaccinated myself. I vaccinated my kids. For myself and my children, I believe that the benefits of vaccines greatly outweigh the risks. But I still do not favor giving up on liberty for a false sense of security. Thank you.
And the big takeaway here, folks, again, it should be about choice. It should be about consent. And they lie to you. Oh, there's no risk involved. Really, can I see the insert? Oh, no, you can't see the insert. Well, I'm not going to give the vaccine to my kid until I see the insert. Oh, no, you have to give it to your kid. Of course, that's a lie, but they're trying to get it on the books. Forced vaccinations. myself for this segment, even though I haven't even done it yet, because I just know I can't get to the real... I don't know how to get to people about... Again, it's the same thing. They say we're anti-immigration. No, we're just for legal immigration. They say we're anti-vaccine. No, we're just pro-choice. But I'm going to tie it all in here. And again, the big story is how they've been pushing this all week. They had all these hearings yesterday on the Hill. They are saying anti-vaxxers. And the next thing you watch, soon it'll say, if you're a parent and you don't vaccinate your kid, they're going to come for your children. Story's probably already in the news. But they'll try to put it in the books. And, I mean, I'm serious. I bet they say foster parents won't vaccinate kids. They come and take the kids. CPS taking parents' kids for not vaccinating. I bet it's already going on. But there's a new wave of propaganda happening right now against people that just want vaccine choice. And they say they're anti-vaxxers. No, we just want vaccine choice. We don't want to give, 57 doses to a two-month-old. And then they're also taking advantage of a crisis happening at the southern border with all of this disease coming across. And they're blaming it on anti-vaxxers, which are just people that are pro-choice for vaccines. So I already know that there's no way I can cover that effectively and as well as I should. But that's why we're going to get the vaccine experts on to break it all down. But let me tie it all together. And it starts with some stuff that we just kind of highlighted from that meeting that Trump had. From the LA Times, Trump works to maintain illusions of progress as his main promises go unfulfilled. Now, there's a weird twist to this. Now, obviously, this article is meant to, bash Trump, but it's actually incredibly effective at voicing the frustrations of people on Trump's base that aren't seeing some action where we wanted to. And so, yeah, there's no wall. The trade deficit gets worse. The deficit in general gets worse. With China, it gets worse. The people coming across the border is getting worse. It's all worse under Trump. And these were some of his biggest things. And so it's true that the LA Times saying that Trump is not coming through on all these issues. It's true. But it's like, is this what is going to spur President Trump to actually get it done? That's the weird twist to it. Like, if Ann Coulter or InfoWars or all these other people that got Trump in office, if we sit here and bitch about how the president isn't doing what he promised he'd do, he doesn't listen to us. But maybe if the LA Times, maybe if the Washington Post, maybe if the New York Times, maybe if those people that he loves to read because they bash him all day, maybe if they start calling him out on all this stuff, maybe that spurs him into action. But this is all in the news today. U.S. trade gap with China reaches U.S. trade gap reaches 10-year high, record gap with China. U.S. trade deficit widens to record level. So, again, one of Trump's biggest campaign issues, trade. We're getting crushed on it. Where's the president? Does it really take the left to call him out? Washington Post, border rush may hit 100,000 migrants in March. We told you that last year, that they'd be coming across the border by hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Now they are, and it's even worse now than it was under Obama. I have a video. I don't know where it went. I lost it somewhere. Obama, I mean, folks, you've seen, Obama literally campaigned on stopping illegal immigration. I mean, it's a joke. Illegal immigration under Trump projected to surpass Obama-era level. So here's all these weird issues that Trump is not coming through on fully, or maybe we're just not seeing the full results yet, whatever you want to say. And it's the left calling him out on it. And in a weird, sick, twisted way, it's almost perfect because that might be what it takes to get him to listen. But now let's tie it in to the next issue, which President Trump, we think and hope, is aware of, and that's the dangers of vaccines. Now, 200 cases of mumps confirmed in Texas migrant detention centers. Now, this is just one story. The crew can probably pull it up right now. measles outbreaks in Michigan, measles outbreaks in Washington. They declared a state of emergency in Washington. The state of Washington declared a state of emergency, I think, for 8 measles outbreaks. Huh. I mean, folks, 100,000 people are going to illegally cross the border. I bet you 40 of them have measles, and President Trump can't declare that a national emergency, but 8 people get measles in the state of Washington, and they declare an emergency. But so here's the twist. So while they open the borders and they bring in all of this disease, it's all on record, folks. This isn't even a debate. So they bring in all of these diseases that were pretty much eradicated, you could say, because of the vaccine. So they bring in mumps, they bring in measles. And then what do they say? Well, this just means we have to force vaccines. The diseases are not coming domestically. They're coming from the southern border, and you know it. But they don't care. You never let a good crisis go to waste. So now they're bringing in all of these cases of measles, literally flooding the West Coast with them. And so there's all these measles outbreaks where they haven't been in decades, and it's all because of illegal immigration, but they say, no. This just proves you need forced vaccines. And the MMR vaccine is one of the most loaded, contrived shots that you give to children. Just loaded with adjuvants. And then they combine multiple vaccines and put it into one and makes it even worse. So do you realize how ridiculous it is that they sit here, they bring disease across the border illegally, and then they blame people for not getting their vaccines? I mean, that is so sick. That is so twisted. This is the world we live in. And you know what? It pisses me off. But I'm gonna try to stay cool here. But this was all in the news in the last 48 hours, hour-long hearings on the Hill. An 18-year-old comes out, and he's the big spokesperson now for vaccines because his parents didn't want to vaccinate him. Oh, and by the way, guess what? He's perfectly healthy. So it's like, okay, I never got vaccinated because my parents, here I am, a perfectly healthy 18-year-old. So clearly they were in the wrong and bad parents. And so now I'm going to get all the vaccines. It's like, what? But here you go. And I'm just giving you a smattering, folks. And this is how you know when you've been doing, and I haven't even been doing this long, but I've been doing it long enough to know, folks, when you see a rollout and a mass delivery system, it's like a mass weapons delivery system, folks. When they push a story concentrated like they did in a 48-hour period, combined with hearings on Congress, 100% agenda-driven, 100% coordinated. In one day, and I'm just reading you a small example, in one day, look at all these headlines. Washington Post, growing bipartisan alarm in Congress over measles outbreaks amid falling vaccination rates. No, amid raising illegal immigration rates. But the Washington Post lies. NBC News, there is no link between autism and measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. New study finds. Oh, Business Insider, a high school senior who got vaccinated against his mother's wishes just testified before the Senate and accused anti-vaxxers of weaponizing her love. CNN, MMR vaccine does not cause autism, another study confirms. CNN again. Urgent action is necessary to stop vaccine misinformation, public health official warns during Senate hearing. Kaiser Health Institute. Massive study once again confirms measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine does not cause autism. Stat News. Major new vaccine study aims to refute claims of ties to autism once more. Now, these were all from the last 48 hours, and this is just 10% of the headlines. Everyone pushed this story. Everyone pushed this headline. Everyone tied it into measles. They know measles is coming over here across the border. That's why they focus on this one. And then they have huge hearings on the Hill, and it's all about forcing you to take a vaccine.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Let me show you how propaganda works, because I tend to get so focused and aggregate so much information that I tend to miss the forest through the trees. Let me just read to you these headlines and show you how propaganda works. First starts from the Washington Post: border rush may hit 100,000 migrants in March. So let's recall. First, they say there is no emergency at the southern border, while they claim there's family separation and kids in cages and 100,000 people coming here illegally, but no emergency. But okay, 100,000 people set to come here illegally in March. 200 cases of mumps confirmed in Texas migrant detention centers. Oh, so you got all these illegals coming here. Then they carry mumps and measles and all these diseases, and it's coming here because of the open borders and the crisis at the southern border with illegal immigration. But then how do they do it? Don't let a good crisis go to waste. What do they twist? MMR vaccine does not cause autism. Study confirms. Oh, we were just talking about how measles and mumps was coming into America and there's this huge outbreak and it's an emergency. Now let's twist it and focus on the vaccine. Oh, high school senior who got vaccinated against mother's wishes just testifies before the Senate and accused anti-vaxxers of weaponizing her love. CNN, urgent action is necessary to stop vaccine misinformation. Wait a second. You're here blaming quote-unquote anti-vaxxers who are really just pro-choice for all the measles and mumps outbreaks while you're admitting it's actually coming here because of the not crisis that you're claiming doesn't exist at the southern border, even though 100,000 people just came here illegally, at least 200 of them were carrying mumps or measles, causing an outbreak that you then illegitimately blamed on anti-vaxxers who are only pro-choice. Now you see how propaganda works. Now you see how they pull the wool over America's eyes. And so they're going to use the crisis that they created at the southern border with disease coming here to then blame anti-vaxxers and force vaccinate people. See how that works, folks? Propaganda works full circle. Amazing. Now I got a bunch of news still yet to get to, and I still want to take your calls. And Christopher Nyweem joins me in the next segment. Tons that I need to break down yet, including how the Democrats are going to try to remove Trump from office and jail as many people as they can in the process. But folks, I need to fuel the engines here at InfoWars. Now, you've seen the new studio debuted this week, which it's almost like it's like the perfect analogy of how InfoWars works. Always having to call audibles, always having to stand on our head and do 100 things at once. And so we launched the new studio while like three of our top executive producers are out and graphics people and everything and news director. So that's just how it goes. And, you know, that's just how we do things around here. Oh, and not to mention Alex Jones has a ripped bicep with a cast with our brand new full HD, like amazing studios that we have. But it's amazing that we can do that and build these new studios in the face of all this censorship. And of course, that's possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I have a special gift offer for the War Room audience. With coupon code War Room at checkout, you can get $10 off the InfoWars Hexagon logo black polo. So it's the black polo with the white InfoWars Hexagon logo. I sport this polo on air all the time. Nothing but 5-star reviews at InfoWarsStore.com. And with coupon code War Room at checkout, $10 off, $10 off the InfoWars Hexagon polo at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code WARROOM. Great polo, go golfing in, great polo, wear out to the bar on a weekend, wear to church on Sunday, wear to your Bible study, wear it when you go to parent-teacher conferences. I wear it almost every day here on the War Room now. And so there's a reason why it gets the 5-star reviews, great fabric, great quality, just a great t-shirt. Doesn't scream any political message at you. It's kind of like the undercover, you know, secret InfoWars logo. It's kind of like the Fight Club logo. You know, not many people are going to recognize that logo, except, you know, the people in Fight Club, the people that are InfoWarriors. So I offer you $10 off with coupon code WARROOM at checkout, the InfoWars Hexagon logo polo. Now, I know that there'll be at least one of these at Austin City Council tomorrow. where Savannah Hernandez, the producer of The War Room, will be speaking. And I know that there will be a national audience traveling to city council in Austin tomorrow because we are trying to tackle Planned Parenthood getting free rent in this city. And so we've got people traveling from the East Coast, people traveling from the West Coast, and I'm really looking forward to meeting some of you guys. And I think there's some people that think they're going to have like a got you moment and put a camera in my face. Looking forward to that as well. And also looking forward to Savannah Hernandez finally getting to speak to the Austin City Council, where she was rejected last time. So I had to go up there and do my thing. But that is tomorrow at noon, the Austin City Council Public Communications Forum. And I'm inviting you to come out and join us. If you want to stop Planned Parenthood getting government funding, come join us tomorrow at the Public Forum Communications at Austin City Council tomorrow at noon. Now, let me just give a brief breakdown of how this goes, because we want to stop abortion, obviously. But if we come out and that is our strategy, is to say, okay, we just want to stop abortion, we're never going to have victory. We have to chip away at this stuff. We have to chip away. We have to say, stop giving Planned Parenthood free rent. Okay, we have that victory. We say, stop funding Planned Parenthood. Okay, then we have that victory. And then you can start saying, hey, you know, maybe it's time to make abortion illegal. Maybe not. But if we can't at least stop taxpayer funding of abortion, if we can't at least stop taxpayer funding of infanticide, then we'll never stop infanticide. So you understand, you have to have smaller victories before you have the major victory. And if we can't stop the city of Austin giving Planned Parenthood free rent, then we're never going to stop infanticide. I mean, that's a joke. So that's the issue we're tackling right now in Austin. And I, because I go speak at city council, very rarely is there a big crowd. I mean, very rarely. So we're going to pack city council. We're going to have a crowd. I hope to see you out there. And maybe Mayor Adler and city council will finally be willing to listen to the citizens, because they don't listen. They don't give a damn about us. And fine, nobody cares. So I get it. But you know what? Maybe if we show up 20, 30, heck, 100 people, literally a national audience. I mean, I wonder how many times you've had people traveling from the East and the West Coast to come to the Austin City Council. I wonder how many times that's even happened. You see, now was that my vision when I decided I was going to try to stop government funding of Planned Parenthood in Austin, specifically with $1 a month rent? Was that my vision that I'd have people coming from the East and West Coast to come see my producer speak at Austin City Council? No, but one action led to that. And so that's where we're at tomorrow, the Austin City Council Public Communications Forum at noon. I hope to see you there if you're local. I'm sick of Planned Parenthood getting $1 a rent. I'd like $1 a rent. Can I get $1 a rent? No, that's a joke. Why does Planned Parenthood get it?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that might offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Welcome back to The War Room. My next guest is Chris Nyweem. Follow him at Twitter at Chris Nyweem, his website, nyweemgroup.com. And Chris does a lot of work for veterans groups there on the Hill. He's a veteran himself, a regular guest here on the War Room. And unfortunately, we have had major victories when it comes to the testing on animals that our government is engaging in. And we have had victories in this in the past. Things that we raise issue on here on the War Room. They test cats, they test dogs, we get them to stop it, and then they start doing it again. So I know Chris is going to want to talk about that. There was also an executive order the president signed to talk about veteran suicide, which is a major issue. It's sad it doesn't get more attention, but it is going on. So Chris Nyweem joins me now. Chris, you really wanted to get on to talk about this canine testing that's going on that really makes us sick, that we thought they were going to stop. and now they started doing it again. So what's the story?
Well, the story is when all these things started under the Obama administration, these problems were so vast that it's taken a while to fix them. I mean, the bureaucracy runs strong. The unions run strong. So the president's been able to sign this legislation, as you mentioned, to end it. But there's a very narrow waiver authority under the law that allows some of these self-licking ice cream cone bureaucrats, researchers that pay themselves a lot of money to perform these experiments, to continue to do them. Now, there's only, I believe, two facilities left over. I believe we've got Richmond, VA, and Cleveland that are doing these brutal, torturous experiments on puppies. It's crazy. And there's new legislation introduced by Rep. Matt Gaetz and Congressman Brian Mast, who's a veteran in Congress, to once again, and hopefully finally, it's written the right way, that will just totally end this experimentation, as President Trump expects. This Congress. So this the president's fixing the VA, but man, there are some bureaucrats in there, Owen, that just do find new and amazing ways to screw up.
So what's the story here, though? I mean, these bureaucrats that don't want you to stop this or don't want it stopped, is it just for a financial? I mean, is it a monetary motivation? I mean, what's the, I mean, nobody wants these dogs tortured.
It is stubborn bureaucratic power. These researchers oftentimes get bonuses to do research. And look, we want research, but this particular program, as White Coat Waste Project pointed out, has completely failed. I mean, for 60 years, we have not seen any research generated to benefit veterans like me and those others that serve that are enrolled in VA. So it's a total waste of money. It needs to end. It's exciting that Lara Trump has been huge on this issue, like Roger Stone has and everyone over at the InfoWars team, really speaking out against this. We think we're going to get this done, but it's just another example of how the bureaucracy just fires itself up, does crazy things, and even the unthinkable. When you have animal rights groups, taxpayer watch groups, Americans, veterans, patriots, InfoWarriors, all wanting this to end, and there's some crazy freaking science bureaucrat that thinks he's in a Quentin Tarantino movie, apparently, that's still doing this experimentation. So we're going to shut Richmond down, we're going to shut Cleveland down, and we hope to have that done as soon as possible here in the coming weeks and months.
Well, and like you said, it's my understanding that they've been doing this testing so long and to no benefit. There's really been no conceivable benefit. There's been nothing practical to say, hey, look at, you know, look at what we've done with this research. And so it's just, you just wonder. And look, there's been all this research that does show a dog can help a veteran with many different issues, including PTSD. So why don't we quit torturing these dogs and maybe find a veteran that's thinking about suicide and give the dog to them? It might help them.
The VA, Owen, we'd already be in the right track, because that's practical logic. That's exactly the kind of thinking that we need, which is reforming. And the president's been really successful. The challenge is the problems were so insane and so broad that it's going to take his probably entire remaining, what do we got, 7 or 6 years left to fix all this stuff. And look, you know, he's got a secretary in there, I think supports his agenda, but he's getting some really, really bad advice on the canine program. And for some veterans, it actually gives them more PTSD to know that this is going on. It's very problematic. And so he's trying to reduce the number of suicides. He's trying to get bad people out of the workforce and stop the crazy dog torture program that thrived under Obama. Now he's trying to fix that too. And there's just so many problems out here in D.C. It's crazy. Oh, and you're lucky you're down there in Austin where there's some sane people walking around.
Yeah, well, we've had these discussions before. I am not a swamp dweller, but I know that that's where you do the great work for the veterans out there in the swamp. But, you know, I do want to get to President Trump's executive order addressing veteran suicide here. But, you know, on the topic of dogs, since we're already on this, I want to give this analogy to you because I just kind of find it relevant since we're talking about dogs, and I know that you listen to InfoWars. But this is a story out of the Telegraph. Stray mongrel beats pedigrees to become elite Indian sniffer dog. So basically the story is, you know, they raise and breed and train these dogs for police use, and they're great at it, you know, very successful. It's a great thing that they've done with these dogs, and they're really effective. And so they had this stray dog that got brought in off the streets, and they trained it, and now it's the top drug-sniffing dog in India. And I was reading this story today, ABC's David Muir hits ratings high as Americans' number one evening news anchor. Now, I don't know David Muir. I have nothing against him. I don't know his show. I don't know his content. I don't know his take. But my point is that they sit here and it's like, oh, ABC's David Muir, the number one evening news anchor. Most people have no idea who David Muir is. David Muir can probably walk around the streets of America just like me and not get recognized on any given day. And he's considered the number one news anchor in America. So what it really tells me is that evening news is dead. Anybody that's tuning into this, it's simply out of convenience or comfort, or they're just leaving their TV on. You know, they're watching something else on ABC and they just leave their TV on or whatever. It's on at hotels and bars and gyms and all this stuff. So they get the ratings boost. But to sit here and celebrate David Muir as like America's big evening news anchor. No, he's not. Again, nothing, I don't know the guy. InfoWars is bigger than ABC's nightly news. InfoWars is the stray dog, not pedigreed, not bred, not trained to do this, but comes in literally off the streets and is better than the pedigreed, trained, bred David Muir, ABC's number one evening news anchor. Again, I have nothing against the guy. I don't know him. But what do you make of that analysis? Being in D.C., I mean, where the news and everything is the most talked about, I would say. I mean, do you think that's a fair analogy? I feel like InfoWars is the stray mongrel brought in off the streets, beating all the pedigreed news.
Absolutely. So in my opinion, Owen, the number one news guy in the U.S. is Owen Schroyer from The War Room, number one. Number two.
All right, we got to make a promo out of that.
I hope this map makes me look smarter, by the way. I'm trying to, like, just make myself look a little bit smarter with
Well, the Paul Joseph Watson map is a little bigger, so you're going to have to get a bigger one.
That's true. He's one of my favorites. I do an impression of him for the next show or another time. But look, I think you're right, and here's the deal. Here's what I like about InfoWars. You guys have everyone in the bar throwing punches at you, and you're beating everyone. And that's what happens when you have a cultural theme of freedom and independence and complete just truth. And it's you and the fans, right? It's like, that's it. And with the mainstream media, they're so concerned with their image and their what other people think and their messaging and who's going to think and what do the donors think. And what you guys are just literally communicating with Americans, and Americans want that. And I think that's why President Trump won. I think that Alex Jones has talked about that a lot as well, where it's just like, when in the aggregate, you guys actually have bigger ratings than Fox News, because I mean, the primetime hour, you've got, a couple million, 4 million people. But over time, when you have people following ideas, wanting to shut down canine testing, wanting to hold the government accountable, wanting to know the truth about things, I think that that's where you guys just win.
Well, and I think the numbers speak for themselves where we're not banned yet. I mean, the biggest Sean Hannity show will get 3.5 million viewers. I mean, that's great, but Alex Jones on Joe Rogan gets 8 million viewers overnight. And that's where the real traffic is, and that's where they censor us on those platforms. When we come back, let's talk about the executive order addressing veteran suicide.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Information overload right now, and it's like I'm pulling in all these videos and I probably won't even have time to get to them. Like Michael Caputo just on CNN talking about how no one is complying with this new House investigation that I'm going to break down in the next hour, and how the whole thing is basically just to drive people into the poorhouse. And it's funny because this interview just happened, but that is exactly what I was going to say. And it's like they don't even get it. Like Elijah Cummings, I really just wonder, are these people that corrupt or are they just that stupid? Because it's just ridiculous at this point. And it's so illegal and politically driven. But Chris Nyheim is with us for another segment first. And so, Chris, you do a lot of work, obviously, for Veterans on the Hill with the Nyheim Group. You're constantly meeting with people, looking at veterans' issues, where you can try to move balls around politically to try to help veterans and get the right thing done, like stopping the torture of dogs, something you're working on now we addressed in the last segment. But tell me, what did you think, what did it mean to you, President Trump signing the executive order The official tweet is, I signed an executive order addressing one of our nation's most heartbreaking tragedies, veteran suicide. To every veteran, I want you to know that you have an entire nation of more than 300 million people behind you. You will never be forgotten. As a veteran, what did this mean to you? And from other veterans, have you seen a morale boost since this issue was shed light on by the president?
Yes, the president's trying to get the VA to follow through on the missions that it has, right? It has all of these benefit programs it needs to implement, healthcare it needs to provide. And where Congress kind of gets it right is they've given veterans a lot of benefits. The problem is Congress never does its oversight role correctly, where it actually gets in there and holds these highly paid bureaucrats accountable that are there for 8 presidential terms their whole life, and they're never really held accountable. The president's come in with the accountability law reforms, and now he holds those folks accountable, and he's trying to really get this bureaucracy to work for the veterans. So I'm happy that he's looked at the suicide problem and said, we want to do something. And he's taking something, a really great government agency that no one's heard of or cares about, called the GAO, the Government Accountability Office. It's actually important. It actually produces really good ideas that Congress never implements and that bureaucrats never care to do anything with. And the president.
Oh, wow. Wow. That shocks me. The Government Accountability Office and Congress isn't interested in it. Wow.
Exactly. It's sort of, you know, so the president is following recommendations from that report to make sure that they are using benchmarks that make sense. Some of this stuff is really basic. I mean, the president's a businessman, so he understands when you spend millions of dollars on big fancy consultants that have no interest in fixing the VA, and then you do ads where now you have the VA crisis line on a bus in Washington, D.C., driving around all day long. Okay, that's great, but the problem is you're not really targeting the vets. You're not out there in the real country, out in the flyover states, actually helping those vets, actually getting health care in there. I mean, you know, the Democrats have said, we don't want to have privatization, all this stuff. It's not about privatization. The president's trying to give veterans more options. If I can go to the VA and get great treatment, that's fantastic. If I can't, I'm going to go to a doctor in town and get treatment there. So he's trying to improve the programs that are on the books, reduce suicide, make the VA brand trustworthy, where veterans actually enroll in the VA. Majority of veterans that commit suicide, no one knows this, but they're not actually enrolled in the VA because they don't trust the VA, or they're in a community where they're not getting assistance. So, you know, he's trying to shut down the painful, crazy Obama dog torture that was going on that, you know, we're trying to end. He's trying to fix suicide. And the president's got a lot of work to do. That's probably why we need to get him reelected as well, to be able to fix the nonsense that's going on over at the VA.
Well, and I think that this is actually something that is something that can have a multi-pronged attack to it. And that, in fact, one of the causes of suicides a lot of times is a financial cause. And so I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, you know, there's all these different reasons why people commit suicide, but focusing on the veterans, you've got the PTSD for different reasons. And I'm curious if there isn't even a segment of that that's having financial problems. I mean, you know, we see it all the time, the homeless veteran asking for money on the street. I think, sadly, some people maybe doubt whether it's actually a veteran or not. It's sad, but fair. And so I'm sitting here thinking, you know, we got all these programs, like all these HB2 programs and everything, to bring in all of these workers from all these other countries. I mean, what kind of programs do we have that make sure veterans get jobs? I mean, what kind of programs, Chris, can we maybe implement or think about so that we don't have homeless veterans on street corners?
So here's the thing. There are so many veterans groups out there. Some are good, some are bad, but there's way too many that don't work together to actually consolidate resources. At the end of the day, veterans need to have access to healthcare, and they need to have access to skills. And where I think a major shift is happening culturally in this country is veterans that are sort of, you know, looked at as victims and veterans that are looked at as victors. I think every veteran is capable of being a victor, but they have to embrace, and many do, economic freedom, independence, pro-Second Amendment. Those are the kinds of things you can fall back on to protect your livelihood, and specifically the economic piece.
But Chris, just to kind of keep going down this road with you, I mean, don't you think to a certain extent, I mean, I see a lot of these veterans, I've talked to some of them, and it's a real depression, and I think it comes from putting everything on the line and then, you know, coming home and not getting a hero's welcome. But even beyond that, it's almost just being totally cast aside by society.
Well, I think people are forgetting. That's the challenge. Like, we have a lot of challenges in this country politically. People talk about politics. We're fighting for freedom on so many fronts, and yet veterans are sort of looked at as this ceremonial prop. We respect them, we like them, but we don't actually know how to relate to them. And so I think breaking the dependency chain and stop looking at veterans as people that need something. We need an opportunity, and if you give us that, we're going to create major equitable outcomes. We're going to start record labels. We're going to be musicians. We're going to start government affairs firms. We're going to change policy. We're going to inspire people. We're going to write books. And right now, I think a lot of the veterans groups in Washington, I wasn't going to go here, but I am. Some of the veterans groups in Washington have become total phonies at the national level. I mean, you've got people in these national offices that have been there for 30 years, and they work at big reputable veteran service organizations like the American Legion. And you have a leader in there who makes a lot of money. They're totally out of touch with real veterans. And they, a lot of times, cut deals with the VA and Congress behind the scenes and say, oh, we're not really going to hit you that hard on this as long as we still get to go to the coffee clubs and the annual event. And these guys are phonies. And I'll tell you what, the American Legion in particular, their executive director is a total, you know, one of these guys I'm talking about who's not really embracing really being giving veterans freedom, and he's routinely supported bills to cut veterans benefits privately.
But how much of that, Chris, how much is that, Chris, about, and again, you don't have to get into specifics, but like, how much of that almost kind of just falls into that whole like DC social club thing where once you get in there, you're more concerned about being invited to the gala and to the party, and you kind of lose track of the mission?
It's all of that, but that's what's so interesting is we talk about the swamp, but no one's really actually taken carved out the rest of that pie to realize the veteran community has its own swamp, you know? And look, Verna Jones was leading the American Legion. She pretended to go to law school. She never did. They moved her out of there. The current executive director, Lou Celli, went to Harvard Extension School. I know many people that did. It's a great school, but he purposely misrepresents his education against Harvard's rules to this day. If you go to his LinkedIn, and I don't want to go, he's not worth our time. But the point is, you're right. They're all in that.
You're just talking about a perpetual problem.
It's a perpetual problem because they're not really representing real change. They're just sort of like toy soldiers is probably a good metaphor. So the way we solve this is we recruit veterans. There's a veterans organization I founded. We haven't talked about it too much, called Next Veterans, that's training veterans leaders, engineering veterans victories, to train veterans to do media, to get smart on issues, to question the status quo. And I think that Trump, the Trump presidency, and media platforms like InfoWars actually unleashes a lot of brain power to be able to think in new ways and figure out what's working and what's not. But torturing dogs is ridiculous. Giving the VA $200 billion when veterans are killing themselves. And some of these veterans, it's really sad, Owen. I mean, we had a retired military officer commit suicide in the parking lot of a VA. This is very sad. This country, we've got to take care of our vets. And I think the best way we can do that is putting forward solutions that work and having a president like President Trump that says, gee, these problems have been going on for a long time. How can I actually fix something and not deal with all these? And that's why President Trump has, I think, more of a smaller elite category of veterans he listens to and not all these big phony veterans groups in Washington, you know, led by this clown in the American Legion, who is just an absolute beta bully.
Tell you what, I think the best solution that President Trump could start doing now, and he already has signaled that he'll do this, it's time to stop sending our troops to endless wars without clear missions so that they can't even declare victory. I think that that's the big thing that Trump can do that would really, really help this issue because it would cut it out at the butt. Christopher Nyweem, thank you so much. At Chris Nyweem on Twitter, Nyweem Group always does great work for the veterans on the Hill and comes on and gives us an update whenever there's stuff breaking.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
James O'Keefe of Project Veritas always does great work, has exposed all the censorship going on at Censor Media with undercover video. He has now issued a response to Jack Dorsey and Vijaya Gadde, on the Joe Rogan Experience, where they're basically trying to cover up the fact that they're targeting people politically for censorship. Here's what James O'Keefe had to say.
So you may have heard by now that the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, went on the Joe Rogan podcast yesterday, along with his colleague, Vijay Gaddy, head of trust and safety, who does legal work for Twitter. Check out what these two say to Joe Rogan about monitoring your direct messages.
Do you read direct messages?
We don't read direct messages.
We don't read them unless someone reports a direct message to us that they have received.
Does anyone in the company have access to direct messages other than that?
Only in the context, again, of reviewing reports.
Oh, yeah, we can actually read your DMs.
So we may have a contradiction between what Vijay Gaddy told Joe Rogan and what our undercover cameras captured Mr. Clay Haynes, senior network security engineer at Twitter, telling us.
Like everything? Like everything, even DMs?
Oh, yeah, we can actually read your DMs.
I've seen way more penises than I've ever wanted to see in my life.
On what? DM messages?
DMs, tweets, yes.
Penises?
Lots of dicks.
Not only does Clay Haynes talk about how he peruses private messages and looks at private pictures, he says that there are hundreds of people at Twitter dedicated to reading direct messages for this purpose.
There's teams dedicated to it. I mean, we're talking about at least three or four hundred people. Yes, they're paid to look at dick pics.
And not only are there hundreds of people dedicated to doing this, a guy named Pranay Singh, who works on Twitter's direct messaging team, says they store all of this stuff from private direct messages on their server for analytical and advertising purposes.
So all your sex messages and your like dick pics are on my server now.
You talking about just regular tweets or the DMs or both?
Everything. Anything you post online.
Wow. So even what you think is private direct message.
Yeah,
they're analyzing it and selling that.
Hey, what?
A machine's gonna look at it. An algorithm will look at it.
Why?
And they'll make a virtual profile about you.
And if that isn't a contradiction, how about this closing remark from Twitter's Clay Haynes?
It is creepy, Big Brother.
Does anyone in the company have access to direct messages other than that?
Only in the context, again, of reviewing reports.
Now look. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt to Dorsey and Gaddy over here, but it's really tough. I know they meet with all the top Democrats and everything, but folks, first of all, that was James O'Keefe that went undercover in that video where they talk about going into the DMs. And who knows who gets all the access? I mean, it's like the same thing. It's like there's certain people here that work at InfoWars in the tech department and stuff that could probably get into my emails and read my emails if they wanted to. But that doesn't mean they're doing it. It just means that, you know, they're in that sector of working here and, you know, could just go do it. So maybe that's going on. But folks, look, here's the deal. I know that they can go in and read your direct messages. And I know what they're doing at Facebook, okay? And I tell people this because I communicate with people on Twitter. And so people will send me stuff. I mean, you know, I'm not getting any Michelle Obama protein bars in my DMs, thank God. And so I'm like, hey, you know, be careful what you say and send to me on this because it's going to be read. It's going to be read. And we even knew that before we had that on tape with James O'Keefe going undercover. But as much as I want to give the benefit of the doubt to Jack Dorsey and Vijaya Gaddy, I just have to ask the question, are they that ignorant or are they lying? Do they really not know what goes on at their company or are they just lying? Do they have a political agenda of censorship or are they really just that stupid, that low IQ that they don't see how they're engaged in political censorship? I mean, I'm genuinely asking because it's one of the two. War Room, brought to you by TurboForce at InfoWarsStore.com. It's brought to you by TurboForce, A, because when you buy TurboForce at InfoWarsStore.com, you support this broadcast, but B, because I take TurboForce every day at 3 o'clock as a caffeine stimulant, because I kind of got addicted to having the coffee before I go on air as a little stimulant, but I kind of got sick of drinking 3 or 4 cups of coffee every day. So I switched to Turbo Force, and I just drink Turbo Force at 3 o'clock, and then I just have 3 or 4 glasses of water here in my InfoWars Hexagon logo tumbler, which is also available at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have a special coupon offer for you right now. When you go to InfoWarsStore.com, you can get the InfoWars Hexagon logo polo for $10 off with coupon code WARROOM. Get the InfoWars Hexagon logo polo for $10 off with coupon code WARROOM. I wish we would sell a lot more of these polos. I really like it. So we're offering it for $10 off right now with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. And I want to get to some other things, too, before I get to some of this news, and I really want to open up the phone lines. I may not end up with time to do it, but because I got video clips I want to play, too. And I've explained this before, but I have to be redundant about it. Otherwise, it's just not effective. We're obviously banned on YouTube, which to me is the best place to share videos. So I'm only going to apply this to YouTube, but you can do this with any social media. But folks, here's what we need you to do. Because I'm still racking my brain sometimes, and I've already talked about how I transferred energy, but we still put out the segments of the War Room, and we make them available for download. And so I'm asking you, with your YouTube accounts out there, or create YouTube accounts, I'm not allowed to do it. We're not allowed to be on YouTube. They've got us totally banned. For example, if you go to Infowars.com/war-room, that's the website for this show. You can watch the live stream there and look at all of our archives. Let's say you thought I had a powerful segment today when I talked about the illegal immigration and how they're using that to force vaccinations on us. You thought that was powerful. Quite frankly, I think that'll probably be the best segment from today. So you go to the website. And you go and you find that video on our archives, again, Infowars.com/war-room. And then you can download that video and then upload it to YouTube on your channel. And you can go with the headline that we made, or you can go with your own headline, whatever. You can restream it live on a live stream that you do. We're totally free use, folks, because we're all about the information here. But I cannot reiterate enough. Because what tends to happen, and the crew can go do this right now, it's okay. I mean, these guys are doing 100 things at once. But you go into YouTube right now, and let's just say, for example, you plug in Owen Schroyer on YouTube, and you say, okay, most recent uploads. What everyone's doing, and I'm not complaining, it's just this is what everyone's doing. They're uploading the full three-hour show. And so they upload the full three-hour show, and it's like, you know, War Room, whatever. But that doesn't really penetrate the matrix, unfortunately. Yeah, people that are looking for me and the War Room and InfoWars, they'll find it. But that doesn't penetrate the matrix, where if you take a segment that we do here and then you give it a title that people are searching, like, for example, I gave, what is the headline for today's show? It's like, Tim Pool calls out Jack Dorsey for Twitter censorship on Joe Rogan Experience. Tim Pool, Jack Dorsey, Joe Rogan Experience. Three key search items right there that you put in a title, bing. People are searching for that. You break through the matrix. So I appreciate everybody uploading our full shows to YouTube, but it's 100,000 times more effective to download a segment and put up a 5-minute video, a 10-minute video, rather than a 3-hour video that most people that don't know what it is aren't going to want to watch, aren't going to want to click on. They don't recognize the logo. They don't see anything in a headline they're interested in, so they're going to pass. So it's more effective for you to actually go out, pick your favorite segment or two from the War Room, download that at Infowars.com/war-room, and then put that onto your YouTube channel with a catchy headline. Or if you really want to go next level, which a lot of people are doing, you can actually go ahead and put in, because I want to give these people, it's like I'm actually at a weird level where I can't decide if I want to give all these people a shout out or if I don't want to give them a shout out, because then they'll get banned on YouTube. So in fact, don't pull it up. But there's just a lot of great people that put InfoWars compilations together on YouTube, and they get hundreds of thousands of views. I mean, it's, you know, but that's the stuff that's effective. That's the stuff that gets the views, is original stuff that's highly produced, cut up, and edited so that it's creative. Yeah, there's some of the stuff right there. I mean, I don't want to name the channels here, but those get hundreds of thousands of views. But if you just take the full 3 hours and put it up, not many people are going to click on it. They're not searching for the keywords, and you don't get near the ability to break the matrix. So I'm just putting that out as kind of a call to action, because I've talked about it in the past, but we don't talk about it enough. For example, I don't talk about Infocoms enough. Infocoms.org, something we created here that people are already taking advantage of. Like, for example, Savannah Hernandez will be speaking at Austin City Council tomorrow. We put up a post, a forum at the Infocoms. It's getting national attention. So you can do this in your local area. You can use this as a communication platform. You can use this as a tool to meet like-minded patriots in your area, whether you're in Michigan or Florida or Massachusetts or Wisconsin or Missouri, wherever you are, infocoms.org. And this is our site. We run it. We moderate it. I don't moderate it personally, but we'll just leave it at that. And so I just want to make sure I plug that, because it's like, if I don't plug it, nobody will. And I don't mention it nearly enough, like maybe once a week. So infocoms.org is there for you. All right. Let me play. Go ahead and just roll clip 13 as B-roll. Now, the reason I show this is because this little baby here is what the Democrats just made legal to let die. Go full screen, please. Little baby, preemie, basically on life support. But look at the beauty in that child. Look at the life. I mean, it's so beautiful to me. It's this tiny little baby, this tiny little being, this tiny little human, this little spirit, this little soul, so innocent, new to the world, so curious, resting on a father's chest, smiling and breathing and laughing and looking and searching and yawning. And there's emotion, there's a heartbeat. And I can't believe it, man. And these Democrats, like, they're so numb. It's just like, yeah, just let it die. You know, it's like, I look at that, I'm like, man, if I'm sitting at a hospital and someone says, let that baby die, like, I mean, I don't like to get violent, but I mean, my God, how can you not want to stand up for that innocent life like that? How could you stand by and watch? I mean, look at how beautiful that is. Like, can we get a zoom in on the face, please? Is that possible? I mean, I just saw this video, and I mean, I'm telling you, I started tearing up, because anybody who says that that's not a viable life, you go straight to hell. You go straight to hell. I mean, look at this baby. This is the most beautiful thing in the world. A newborn baby, a preemie, yes, on life support, but still breathing and living and smiling and laughing and coughing and yawning. And the Democrats just say, oh, it's not viable. Let it die. You people are sick.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, I've got an important stack of news I need to break down. Then I need to do a news blitz. I'd like to play these clips I have, but I'm just running short on time. Hillary's got her fake Southern accent again. Rand Paul is talking about giving soldiers a victory bonus. Well, we'd have to declare victory first, but that was never the intention, was it? Raheem Kassam talks about getting banned from Facebook. Well, he's back on. How about me getting on Fox News for my Facebook ban? How about Alex Jones getting on Fox News for his total internet ban? No, we're not allowed to do that. We're the black sheep of media. Women are so scared of climate change, they won't have children. If that doesn't show you mental illness, I don't know what does. And then I've got this clip, a compilation of Obama and Hillary and all the Democrats. You know, Obama literally campaigned on closing the border and stopping illegal immigration. I mean, it's such a joke, this country. People in this country are so friggin' stupid. I don't even know where to begin. But here's what I will say. I'm going to do at least one segment of calls. So I'm going to give out the phone number right now. And if you want to call in and perhaps have to wait a little bit, I promise I'm going to take calls before I get off air today. I just need to get to this news. I need to do a news blitz. I need to break down what's happening right now with the Democrats getting ready to remove President Trump from office. But let's open up the phone lines. And then let me know when they're opened, and then I will give out the phone number, because I don't like giving out the phone number before we're open, because then people try to call in that are first-time callers and can't get through. Okay, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244 on any of the subjects we've discussed. Now, let me focus and bear down on this pile of news right here. House Democrats likely to seek 10 years of Trump's tax returns in coming weeks. So what? You've already seen Trump's tax returns. The Mueller probe has already seen Trump's tax returns. There's nothing there. If there was, you would know it by now. So this is just nothing but headline garbage to keep you under the impression that Trump is somehow going down for anything he's done. There's nothing. But leave it to the Democrats to do this, probably illegally. But they're setting precedent, so now they can just do it to anybody they want. Brennan predicts Mueller report. More indictments on Friday. I don't have inside knowledge. John Brennan. This guy is a known liar, a perjurer, and he's going to go on MSNBC. He's going to be like, well, I know the indictments are coming, and I think it's happening on Friday. I don't have any inside knowledge, though. Dude, that's what I'm saying. They've been running this whole damn show. All the Obama administration members that are guilty of all of these crimes, they're the ones running the show. Brennan knows what's going on. And we already told you. I don't know when it'll happen. Maybe late March. Okay, they'll release the Mueller report, and it won't matter. There'll be nothing in it, and then they're going to launch all these other investigations. They're going to throw all these other subpoenas out there. Someone might get indicted for a process crime here or there. No Russia collusion, but it won't matter. And so here's Brennan, you know, Tokyo Rose. Don't worry, the Mueller report's coming out. Indictments will fly. I think it's going to happen Friday. But I don't have any insider information. Oh, I don't know anything. House Oversight Committee, the Democrats run it. White House in standoff over viewing security documents. So they subpoenaed for all these documents. Oh, and by the way, you could subpoena any of these Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, and they never turned the documents over. Hillary Clinton destroyed damn email servers and cell phones. I mean, literally broke the law. Oh, but see, when the Democrats want documents from Republicans, you have to do it or you go to jail. But if you're Hillary Clinton or Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch and you get subpoenaed or you get held in contempt of Congress, you don't have to do anything. You just ignore it. You just give it the middle finger and move on and nobody cares. Oh, but you watch. They'll make a huge national crisis because right now the White House and some of these Republicans are basically saying, screw you. We're not turning over these documents. And they're in a legal battle right now with the White House saying that the House Oversight Committee is overstepping its bounds, but they're going to cooperate anyway. So we'll see what happens there. But again, it's all about the Tokyo Rose effect. Oh, there's something Yes, there's something. We just have to find it. Adam Schiff hires MSNBC analyst who has already decided Trump is a criminal. That's Daniel Goldman. Schiff actually hired this guy, I believe it was January 29th. So he actually hired this guy over a month ago. But this guy's going on MSNBC, and he's already saying Trump is a criminal. So, that's not bias at all. And by the way, little Adam Schiff with a D, for a significant reason, you said you already had the evidence that Trump colluded with Russia. So why do you need to hire this Daniel Goldman, who's just a DCite lawyer who's trying to make a name for himself? That's really all he is. And he thinks if he can do something to bring Trump down, that's going to be his big claim to fame, and he can be rich and famous for the rest of his life. So that's his motivation. Of course, Schiff's motivation is that he's scared to death of Donald Trump because Donald Trump called him little Adam Schiff with a D. Robert Mueller tells Judge Roger Stone Instagram pic Maya violated gag order. Folks, do I have to spell this out for you? Now, I don't know if Mueller still tunes into this show now that Stone's been gagged. He's not my co-host anymore, so he may not be interested in following the War Room anymore. He used to listen every damn day. And if it wasn't him, his team was listening. But now they're still following Roger Stone. And this Instagram picture gets put out. It says, who frames Roger Stone? Stone Defense Fund, which the judge said he could plug his legal defense fund. That wasn't against the gag order. And then I'm actually talking to the people that used to run Roger's social media account, because Roger can't talk, and just to say, hey, did you guys put this out? And they said, well, the last time we tried to log into his account, we were kicked off because someone was trying to log in with an illegal password. So I don't know what's going on with that. But that didn't stop him. Now the judge, Amy Berman Jackson, Mueller and Amy Berman Jackson want Roger Stone in jail. This is so biased. This is all politically motivated. I know you know it. It's just sick, and you have to say it. So Roger already wrote this book. The book was already written, publishing date, everything. And so now this book is about to come out where he wrote years ago in 2017 that Robert Mueller was going to frame him for a bogus charge. That ends up coming true. So Roger Stone, 110% right, publishes it in a book in 2017. Robert Mueller's going to set me up for a process crime. Then Mueller does it. And then the judge says, oh, you can't publish that book. It's against the gag order, even though you wrote it 2 years ago. And then what happens on the flip side of the coin? Prosecutors in Chicago drop charges against U.S. Representative Aaron Schock if he pays back IRS. Now, this is a Republican who's going to have to pay over $100,000 for violating basically campaign finance things. Try the same thing Cortez did, but you see, Republicans have to pay the price. But even the Democrats were pissed that he's going to be removed from office and had to pay the price. They want him in jail. But if you're a Democrat, you just get away with everything.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. This is the War Room
with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
You know, Kamala Harris is one sick, twisted bitch. I mean, she really is. She is really a sick, twisted bitch. And I'm sorry. Excuse me for my French, but I just have to call it like it is. Kamala Harris is a sick, twisted bitch, okay? And so she just tweets this out. I'm serious. And folks, look, I don't know what it is, okay, but I can just see the evil in Kamala Harris. But it's totally confirmed right here. Kamala Harris just tweeted this out. Let's keep speaking out until every single infant is out of detention in Texas and elsewhere. This cannot be who we are as a country. Okay, so it's the whole thing, you know, children in cages, right? So Kamala Harris tweets that out with a story. Well, I decided, okay, I'll just read the story in the break from CBS News. One detained baby remains in ICE custody in Dilley, Texas. So here she is acting like there's some national crisis and we've got all these infants in ICE custody and there's one. And do I even have to go down the road that you guys promote and literally cheer on infanticide? Because I'll go down that page. But you know what, Kamala? I'll put aside the fact that your party promotes and celebrates infanticide, and then you complain about one infant being at a detention center. But let's actually go into that story. And then you read the story. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like, I'm wondering if Kamala Harris can even read at this point, to be honest with you. I think she might be illiterate. The whole story is how about, since there's this rush of people at the border, it's a national emergency, these women are coming here pregnant. Pregnant women are coming here, and then they have to have the baby. And so what are you going to do? And so it's like, I mean, and then again, it all goes back to Democrat legislation in the 70s that separated, quote unquote, families. Adults go to DHS, children, minors go to HHS. That's Democrat legislation for 30 freaking years, 40 years. But then Kamala Harris acts like, oh, Texas ICE is abusing infants. They literally are taking care of the infants. And then you go read the story, and it's all these Democrats pushing to get all these children out of the detainment facilities. And ICE is like, look, we want to keep them because once they go out in the world, we don't know what happens to them. We have no means of making sure they're protected. They can end up as sex slaves. Who knows what happens to them? That's the whole point. And so here's ICE that takes in these infants that get brought here by mothers that are pregnant. I mean, you want to talk about responsibility? Same party that celebrates infanticide. You know what? It's just so sick, honestly. These people are sick, man. Kamala Harris is a demon bitch. I'm sorry, excuse my French, but Kamala, if you could read, you'd read the story and find out that ICE is getting these pregnant women, these women that travel here with their infants, and then they take care of them because of the law that Democrats wrote, and they want to make sure they're protected, and then you just say, no, just let that infant out into the world. Who knows what happens to it then? Meanwhile, you guys are literally celebrating infanticide. I am so fed up. I know I'm not the only one. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Breezy in Georgia. Wants to call in about the abortion issue. Go ahead, Breezy.
Hey, Owen. First off, I would just like to thank you for everything you've done regarding the pro-life movement.
Well, I've barely done anything, Breezy. I wish I could stake a claim like I have done something, but maybe someday.
As you are, and there is no need to apologize for your language that you've been using, because you're absolutely right. You're calling an agency. It's true.
Breezy, excuse me for a second. I want to take your phone call here, but we're having an audio issue. Are you on a speakerphone?
Oh, I'm on, yes.
Do you think you could switch? Because I can't really, your audio is distorted.
Is that better?
That's better. Thank you. Go ahead.
Not a problem. I'm just wondering how the left can be so pro-children. They claim the same pro-children as long as they're illegal? I'm not understanding that. And then the whole, it's like they forget about going back to Planned Parenthood and the $1 rent. It's like everyone forgot about the videos. It's like, oh, no, they're not just selling baby parts. It's okay.
No, but here's what they do, Breezy. Remember, the videos come out, and then what did the Democrat lapdog media do? They immediately said they're doctored. They immediately said it's fake news. It's all a hoax. It goes into a court system that's actually run by liberals, and the court system said, no, these videos are real. Yeah, they're actually trafficking baby parts and bragging and laughing about it to buy Lamborghinis. So that's how they do. They try to bury the story when it's real, create a false narrative, and prop that up, and then when the truth comes out, they don't even talk about it.
I want to know where their bands are. Where the fuck are... Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Where are their bands at? Like, this is ridiculous. They want to say that's fake news. Oh, my gosh. And it's such a slap in the face to people. Like, I've been volunteering in the pro-life movement since I was 14 years old. I'm now almost 23, and I feel like everything I've done is a loss. Like, I'm doing this for nothing.
Well, I forget the numbers, but it's like, I can hear your emotion. It's like, I forget the numbers, but, you know, like, these aren't accurate, but let's say it was like 15 million World War One, 30 million World War Two, 50 million babies have been aborted in this country.
Ridiculous. Those are children. And they, how can our world get any better? They want to cry, oh, kill your children. Our world isn't getting better. How can it get better if you want to kill the youth?
See, but this is why I get so ticked off at a Kamala Harris, because Kamala Harris is taking advantage of dumb people at the end of the day. Kamala Harris is just trying to take advantage of dumb people. And so they latch on to what they think is a virtue signal moment. And so she sees this story about a detained baby in ICE. The baby's detained because a mother came here that was pregnant illegally. So it's like, what does Kamala Harris even want? They celebrate infanticide, and then they bitch about the government actually trying to take care of a baby, and then she sits here and virtue signals like she's for the children when she's taking advantage of ignorant people and celebrating infanticide. I mean, it makes me sick. These people make me sick.
It's disgusting because they've got everyone. Oh, they've got everyone so brainwashed into ISIS murdering all these babies. ISIS has all these children. They have no, like you said, they have one child. One.
ICE stops human trafficking. ICE stops human trafficking. And the Democrats want to shut ICE down. Like, okay, do I need to go next level with these people? You want to play propaganda games? How about this? How do I know that Kamala Harris and the Democrats don't want that infant released from ICE custody so that they can traffic it to their pedophile friends? How about that, Kamala Harris? How do you like that? Maybe you want that infant out into the free market to be sold for sex. Because, oh, we haven't forgotten. They did raids and they found children in cages in California, some as young as 5 months old. We know you traffic children. Are you protecting child trafficking, Kamala Harris? I'm sorry, Breezy. I'm telling you, I'm trying to contain myself here, but these people really make me sick. I can't even help it.
I have all the right. When I saw that video, I should see how you were getting at that video. I was in tears. Oh my gosh. I don't know how you weren't, but that oh my gosh, it's sickening. The left is just evil, absolute Satan. And I have fallen away from my faith. And you guys recently I followed you guys as of 3 days ago. I've been watching you guys nonstop. Have brought me back into my faith because of how evil the fucking world has gotten and how much you guys have opened my eyes.
All right, Breezy, thank you for the call. What a world, man. I mean, there is no other option but fight.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm going to do a news blitz here and then get to some of your calls. Amazon bans Tommy Robinson book exposing Islam. Well, what is it going to ban, the Quran next? Because it just cites the Quran. And then maybe it'll ban the Bible, too. Selective enforcement. Google, siding with Saudi Arabia, refuses to remove widely criticized government app which lets men track women and control their travel. Well, yeah, I mean, in Saudi Arabia, your woman is your property. And so, you know, that's liberating Islam. And so Google allows that app to exist for men to treat their women like property in Saudi Arabia. But, you know, okay, that's their culture. So if Google wants to have that app to, you know, for their culture, fine. But our culture in America is free speech, Google, and you don't seem to care about that. So, interesting. Wonder if there'll be any hearings on that. Boy, I got a stack of leftist news. In fact, let me just pile drive through this. So this picture's been going around. And it's of clearly a man, towering over these girls on a JUCO basketball team. And so I saw this and I was like, this can't be real. This is a joke. This is ridiculous. This man has like prison tats all over his body, on the court with these girls. Well, sure enough, photo's real. I've got the story right here. Gabrielle Ludwig, a 52-year-old transgender women's college basketball player enjoying the best year of her life. Well, yeah. If I was on a women's JUCO team and I was 6'9" and they were all 5'10", I guess I'd be having the time of my life too, wouldn't I? Now, look, I don't want to judge this person for whatever sexual proclivities or gender whatever they have, but, I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. And I'm telling you, folks, the only solution to this is men. It's just going to have to happen. Someone's going to break the seal on this, but men are just literally going to have to start playing women and saying they're women and competing with women. I mean, that's how this is going to end. And so when I try out for the women's basketball team and I take Hall of Famer Sue Bird's spot as the starting point guard, just know I'm a woman. Hear me roar. Is this the end of recycling? A story from The Atlantic talks about how the whole recycling movement has basically failed. It's too expensive. And so now cities are cutting their recycling program because they can't afford it. It really is sad because, you'd think we could recycle, but apparently not. Oh, and actually a lot of it has to do with the fact that China is no longer buying our garbage. So we've got all this garbage that China doesn't want now. Somali gangs battle in Minneapolis. Somalis demand that cops do something. Well, the cops don't know what to do. They're kind of not allowed. Some people want them there. Some people don't. And, of course, this is all happening in Ilhan Omar's district. But now Little Mogadishu, as it's known, has Somali gangs now engaging in gang warfare in Minnesota. So that's great. In fact, one of our staff members here is from Minnesota. I'm sure that you're upset you're missing the Somali gang warfare, aren't you? Yes. CNN panel of Democrat voters go nuts over badass Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, look, I try to avoid this chick at all costs, but it's almost impossible because every time I turn around, she says something even dumber than the last time. Like, for example, she just put a video on her Twitter. She hasn't even removed it. It's a video from 2015, some speech at Liberty University, I think. And she says, look at what they allowed at CPAC this weekend. Literally a video from 4 years ago. Like, how dumb do you have to get? Like, I don't even believe a picture of this man playing on a woman's team. I do my due diligence. She's so stupid, she puts out a video from 2015 and thinks from some CPAC over the weekend. And now she's backpedaling her comments on the Amazon jobs thing and the tax thing. So, yeah, just every time she turns around, and I wish I didn't have to cover, but every time I turn around, she says something dumber than before. Hillary says she's not running in 2020 on an ABC 12 News interview. I think it was ABC, but that tells you she was going to run, folks. Why would she be saying, oh, I'm not going to run? She planned on running. And who knows? Maybe she changes her mind. David Korn tweets that he spotted an obscene anti-Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez graffiti in a bathroom stall in the Phoenix airport. Says he's not going to post a photo of it, though. So David Korn, folks, he's in the bathroom in a Phoenix airport, and somebody went in there and apparently spray-painted a negative comment about... Wait. Hold on. What's that? I'm getting something. Oh, wait a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in downtown Austin, Texas right now, and I'm on Highway 35, and I'm driving down the Main Street Bridge. Oh my gosh! Oh, I'm seeing it right now. There's a huge painting of Donald Trump being hung from a noose on the side of a building. Oh my God, I'm looking at it right now. And I don't want to put a picture of it. I don't want to show it on video. It's too graphic, but I'm seeing it right now. What? Yes, and I'm also reporting it was done by a Trump-hating leftist. So there it is, folks. What? These people are a joke. How many fake hate crimes do they think we're going to fall for? And then he puts up the picture. He probably spray-painted it himself. But they don't understand the negative impact they're having as they desensitize everybody to this stuff. And so now you have high school stories or college parties where kids are doing, it's actually at a high school, they put up a Nazi swastika on a beer pong table And then they all did a Nazi salute, and jokingly, and it really just shows you how the Americans don't care. So you had some like Mexicans or Latino people at this party, and then a bunch of white people. And so they all did a Nazi salute with this Nazi swastika, and they're like, and I think it's kind of funny. And so they got all the Latino people on one side and the white people on one side, and they did it. As soon they're like, we're good Nazis. We separate based on racial discrimination. And of course, it just shows how they're all coming together at a party to make a joke, and they've all been desensitized to all this Nazi crap that they see in the media every day. So, but the media doesn't understand how they're desensitizing children to that. Yeah, I don't even know where to go with this R. Kelly thing. It's just, we'll see how that plays out. And then the Michael Jackson story as well. And some other stuff, but I'm going to take some phone calls here before we sign off. Let's go to Chase the Patriot in California. Go ahead, Chase.
Owen, thank you for what you do, brother. This is Chase the Patriot. That's right. Still live on YouTube. And I go live every night at 10 because of you guys got me going. I just want to always thank you guys for that. But today, Secretary Nielsen was on. She had the House hearing, Homeland Security. And it was absolutely nonsense on display.
Well, there's nothing to see at the border. It's just a bunch of racism. And she's like, we have gangs importing drugs. It's killing people, fentanyl. Like, oh, how dare you?
Oh, but Owen, here's the thing. If people want to get a glimpse into our newly elected Congress members, the freshman members were on full display. So you had Congresswoman Underwood from Illinois. Complete ignorance on display, talking about toxic stress. Then you had Congresswoman Barragan from California. She might as well have been up there crying a river. Complete Obamacare, open border Obamaite. You need to look into her. And then, thankfully, though, we had Congressman Crenshaw of Texas, and he was talking about the right of American sovereignty. He was one voice of truth, and it's a little bit of, you know, in the future, we have a few voices in this new generation of Congress, like Congressman Crenshaw, that might be okay. So again, I'm making an episode on it. People can check it out on my YouTube. And it's just a really on display what these Congress people are up to.
Yeah, the Dan Crenshaw clip went viral on Twitter. I saw some of the angry Democrats. But again, they don't even make it about the real issues. They divert and virtue signal. And Kirstjen Nielsen is just sitting up there like she's got all the facts. She's like, there's sex trafficking, there's drug trafficking, there's gun trafficking. Disease is coming here, and they're like, you know, it's not good what you say. It creates a divide in this country, and it spreads xenophobia. And Nielsen's just like, I'm not here to talk about xenophobia. I'm just pointing out the facts at the board. It's just, these people are sick. Thanks for the call, Chase. I hope people tune in tonight. Go ahead, Jeff in Canada. Close us out here. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, Owen. Just want to talk about how to break the abortion matrix. One question. If you ask people, looking back on your life, the good and the bad, the ugly, everything included, would have you wanted to be aborted at birth? If they say yes, it proves they're in the death cult. If they say no, they're approving the generations and generations of people that had pro-life decisions that caused them to come there, and they're destroying their lineage by being a...
No, hold on. This is pretty good. This is pretty good. We're about to finish. What's the question again?
Ask people, looking back on your life, would you want to have been aborted at birth?
That's good. Because here's the thing that I've noticed, Jeff. Thanks for the call. Everyone that's pro-choice and supports abortion, they'll have one thing in common. They were all born. But that's good. You ask them. Given everything you know now and everything you experienced, would you have preferred to have been aborted? Oh my gosh, how many of them would say yes? And the sick thing is, they would say yes because they are committed to the death cult. That does it for the War Room. You stay classy, Info Warriors.